Philippians 1:29 says this. It says, "For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ," which every one of us who has had God convict us in our heart and speak to us and called us and we have responded, have had that privilege of trusting in Him and experienced His arms wrapping around us as we respond, but He has also given us the privilege of suffering for Him. And what I really want to do in this opening part is I want you to really stop and think about that little three-word part of that sentence. Suffering for Him. Now, we all suffer in different ways, and none of us want to suffer as Rhonda has, but some of us will. But you can suffer, or you can suffer for Christ. Everyone who suffers does not suffer for Christ. Suffering for Christ means that there is a connection and an understanding and a vision of God's purpose in our lives through the obstacles in which we have to navigate, ones that He allows in our path. Many people suffer, but they are not connected with God and don't see the purpose in it. And so it becomes a great struggle, and the peace and the joy and the excitement and the love that God puts in our hearts for others doesn't grow and become realized in our life because of the focus on ourselves rather than on God. Now, some of us, we say, are blessed with situations that are not as extreme. They don't drive us to God's feet. They're not circumstances in which, without God's intervention in our life, we are completely destroyed, and we call that a blessing. I'm not so sure it is. We have many people sitting in this church. We've got people who are outside of this church at home right now, but still apart, who are suffering in some very, very difficult situations, and yet they know in that situation they have come to know Christ, that their hearts are now full of love for Christ that they did not have before. Their lives now shine and inspire, and they communicate Christ to others. The focus on themselves has changed through deep suffering and struggle. And I don't think God wants every one of us to have to suffer in great ways physically, but I think God wants every one of us to understand and to learn the connection with God that Rhonda is talking about. It is God's will. I like this little picture right here. It says, "Give me faith to follow where you lead." And one of the things that suffering does is it makes us understand whether or not we are truly committed to follow where God leads. Because it reveals what's inside of us. It reveals whether or not our connection to God is really based upon His help of us to fulfill what we want for our lives, or whether or not our lives are in complete submission to follow Him and be faithful to love Him as He loved us in any situation He calls us into. It shows us whether or not we believe God is truly in control. Because at some moments, we see life go so out of control that we are tempted, and it is easy for us to lose our hope and our faith. It is easy for us to look at the circumstance and to feel as if God can never help. He has abandoned me. He has left me. The struggle that I have, the things I am facing, God could not love me and allow this into my life. and I look at things from a worldly, fleshly view. And we're either all in or we're all out. You cannot be in the spirit and in the flesh at the same time. You cannot look at life from a worldly perspective and a godly perspective at the same time. And when we see things from a godly perspective, which suffering and having to endure difficult things for Christ brings alive in our hearts, then we can see, as we say, as Mary did when she was baptized up here. Do you remember why she was baptized? I want the world to know. I want everyone to know that no matter what happens to me, I will never let go of Christ. That's why she wanted to come up. She's in difficult circumstances. Most of the time she can't come here. She can't come here right now because she's bleeding, seeping from a wound from a surgery. But she wanted, when she could, to come here and be able to say to you and to the world, I won't let go of Christ. I will not turn from Christ. I believe he has a purpose. I am committed to him. We got Greg that's not in here right now, who's gone through surgeries. He's had terrible back pain. The last surgery left his foot with drop foot. He struggles to go to work. But as soon as he's able with that cane to get up here, guess where he is? He can't sit through this service, but he's serving with your children. We've got Rick Rupp, who's got a bad back. He can't sit. Can't come through. He came through at a Bible study I was at last night. He couldn't sit down to be in the Bible study with us, but he wanted to drop by for a few minutes and stand by the table, because he's only got so much time that he can not be in bed. He can't sit. He has to stand or lay. And so what does he do? With all that time, he reads and he reads and he reads. And then he shares that in the moments that he has that he can get up with other people. I've talked with him recently. He feels called to reach out and touch people who are shut in, because now he understands what it means. And he understands what a card means to someone who feels all alone. And he thinks about, what is God's purpose for me and what I'm going through? Does he win every battle? No. Does Mary win every battle? No. Did Rhonda win every battle? No. But the war is important. And you can see the difference when you fight the war. All of us suffer. Some of us are overcome with a human nature, fleshly, worldly view of life, and a faith that is not really based on who God is, but who we want him to be, that's easily shaken when what we want him to be and want him to do is not what happens. And I can tell you how it comes out. It comes out in the spirit. It comes out in a spirit of bitterness. It comes out in a spirit of anger. It comes out in a spirit of grumbling and complaining. It comes out in a spirit that is focused on me and all of the struggles that I have to go through. And we all understand it, because that's exactly how we would be in the same circumstance. Without the incomprehensible presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And when we see it in someone else, and we say, how can that person think beyond themselves in this circumstance? How can they find joy and look for opportunities to love and to share? You know, many of you know Greg Snyder's wife. A year-long problem in the hospital. I can remember seeing her when she weighed 86 pounds. Skin and bones. Couldn't talk. Tracheotomy. Doctors told Greg, no one recovers from this. 90 days in the ICU, 90 days in the ICU before she got to a place where she could struggle with what I'm talking about there. And now to see her last week in her kitchen, and you know what she said? Everywhere I go, it is so easy to witness. Everyone will listen to my story of what God has done for me. She still can't walk without being on one of those things. She's still struggling. She's probably up to 98 pounds. But she is a thankful person. She is a person in awe of what God has done for her. She is a person who would not trade what God has done in their lives through this. Greg told me several times, he told me again this morning when I saw him. He said, you know, I was never the spiritual leader in my house until this happened. But now, we pray together every day. Before, for some reason, we couldn't get together and really pray and experience God together. God can do some miraculous things through suffering. One of the things we need to keep in mind is this, is that God does not allow anything into our lives that he does not have a great purpose for good in. And we can either walk through life believing in God and joining in him and asking him to show us what our part in that work is, or we can fight him every step of the way. And I hate to say it, but in my life, probably most of the times when I struggled, I fought God every step of the way. Because I was more interested in what was happening to me, and I was so interested in what was happening to me and not suffering any type of inconvenience or pain, that I really didn't even ask what God could be doing in that situation. I was over at Mary's house the other day, and there was a knock on the door, and there was a little 7 or 8 year old girl that came walking in. And she was there to see Mary. And I just wondered what seeds God was planting in that. Why would a 7 and an 8 year old little girl come over to see someone in that kind of shape? She must be getting something. It's easy to miss that when we're focused on ourselves. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. Every one of these people that I have mentioned, including Rhonda up here today, will tell you that they are grateful for what God has done through what has happened. And I have not talked to one of them who would say, you know what, if I could get by without going through this, I would like to go back to the relationship I had with God before it started. I see Rhonda shaking her head. Because God reveals himself to us when our hearts are in line with him and his will. And we're kidding ourselves when we think we can be part in and really be focused on ourselves and angry at God if things don't work out the way we want and feel like we've been left and abandoned because our plans are not being carried out. We are kidding ourselves if we think we'll know God like that. You will never know God like that. He reveals himself to those who are of a broken and contrite heart before him. And that means my will is broken. Wherever you lead me, whatever you send me to, I am going to be faithful to you. And I believe you will prove that it was good. How many of you would say, I believe I saw a little proof in Rhonda's testimony that no matter what you go through, God is good. God is good. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you what? Partners with Christ in his suffering. Think of what our lives would be like if Christ would not have suffered. I talked with Rhonda about this when I was over at her house when we were on that porch. Jesus asked God if there was any other way He asked God if this could be taken away, and he could not go through it right before it happened. How many of you think that there might have been some other conversations like that? Because he was a human being too, wasn't he? How many of you know that all of us ask that question? But just like Jesus, not my will be, but your will be done. If I have to go through this, if this is what you want for me, even though I may not be able to see and not want to do it, if this is where you want to take me, I'm going to be faithful to the end. How many of you know God will reveal himself to that person in a way that other people will never understand because they're not committed? She says, God has given me that love. We read a verse up there in the youth today. But any man who loves God will be known by him. There's a difference when you sit down to pray, or you kneel down to pray, or you lay down to pray, and you know God knows you. You know when you kneel down, he says, there's one that loves me. You know he's listening. You cannot experience God like that if you are not settled in your heart that you are willing to suffer, to endure inconvenience, to go through hard times because you're his partner. And when he offers that to you and he says, come with me through this, I want to use you here, I want to reveal myself to you and through you here, you say, I will go, and like a good soldier of Christ, I will endure what? A little bit. I will endure anything that you call me to go through, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory revealed to not just you, but what? To the world. I wonder sometimes what the effect on Madison and the effect on Hunter and the effect on Katya is going to be, because they see their mother loves Christ more than anything else. They're not just told that. They see that. Partners with Christ. Here's what 2 Timothy 1:8 says. Join with me in what? Suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Rhonda can't do that on her own. God gives her the power to do it. He gives her the grace to do it. He gives her the peace. She doesn't conjure it up. But there is no extension of the gospel without suffering. We have no gospel without the cross. And the cross is not the only place where Christ suffered to bring God's love to us. It's just the ultimate place where it was expressed. There is no gospel, there is no revelation of who God is outside of suffering. And that's why the Messiah was called to be a suffering servant. And the power of God shows that he never leaves us or forsakes us. So if you are suffering, 1 Peter 4:19 says, if you're suffering according to God's will, we may not understand God's will, but how many of you know Rhonda's got cancer? Rick's got a bad back. Some of you in here have struggles with your children you don't want. Some of you have lost a job. Some of you have marital trouble. All of you have got circumstances you don't want. You've got people in your life who are not living the way they should be, and it affects you in a negative way. Just the fall of creation brings us death of loved ones, which we don't want. But it's God's will. I wish we could say it's not God's will that Rhonda has cancer right now. We pray that he will heal her. But in this moment, today, right now, as she sits in that pew, God has allowed it. What's she going to do with it? How is she going to respond to God? Who is she going to be in that situation that God calls him? If you're suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right. The temptation is to feel sorry for yourself and not do what's right. Instead of thank God, what do? We complain. Instead of treat people with love, what do? We're angry and we're bitter, so we lash out. We need to keep our connection with God and do what is right and trust yourself to God who made you. He made you a masterpiece. for he will never fail you. Now, we can separate ourselves from God, and we can fail in the circumstances of life that he brings us through. But if we take his hand and walk, how many of you agree with me? He will always make a way. He will not fail us. And that's what faith is. It's knowing that God is always working for good. Let's pray. Father, at times like this, sometimes you just speak to our hearts and you cut through all of the complications of life. And you point your finger deep down into our souls and you ask the question, do you belong to me? Do you belong to me? Will you follow me where I lead you? Will you trust me and be faithful to me that no matter what is happening, if you walk with me, you will see that I allowed it for good? Or will you resist and fight and push away? Because in your heart at this moment, you can't say, I'm yours. You can only say, I'm yours under these circumstances. And Father, right now, I believe you are speaking. And you're identifying things in our lives that we have to let go of. And you're calling us and saying, trust me. Quit looking around at your circumstances. Quit living your life as an exclamation point that says, God can't come through. Full of fear. Full of doubt. Full of turmoil and stress. Look at the cross. Look what I will do for you. Trust me. Even death cannot overcome my plans for you. Father, there is no one else who can take our lives but you. Forgive us for our fear. Forgive us for our doubts. Forgive us for not rushing to you. Right now, Lord, I just open my heart and I rush to you and I give myself to you and I ask you to fill me with faith. Open my eyes to see how you are working around me and preparing me. Let me see your hope, because you are our hiding place and you are our life. Forgive us and take us as your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.